This is Jay Sekulow breaking news. Documents in the Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton matter go from the Department of Justice to the Obama White House.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I think the bottom line is simply that both the president and the attorney general understand how important it is for the Department of Justice to conduct investigations that are free of political interference. And that's been a bedrock principle of our criminal justice system in this country since our founding. The rule of law is paramount, and every American citizen should be held accountable to that rule of law, regardless of their political affiliation.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You're okay with the fact that this meeting has raised that question? Are you concerned that appearance has changed?
I'll let the Attorney General speak to her meetings, but what is paramount in the mind of the President is a commitment to the rule of law and a commitment to ensuring that justice is administered without regard to political affiliation or political standing.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Well, we're talking about, of course, the situation that we've been able to unfold through our federal litigation involving the United States Department of Justice and the meeting between then Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton, former President of the United States. We have developed a timeline as to various matters. There's a couple of things I want to point out at the beginning here. This is very important. This is how you find out what your government was up to in this Freedom of Information Act request. And as I said, we got responses. We got significant responses here. But here's one that's interesting. We had seen the connection between, we talked about this yesterday, between the FBI and the Department of Justice. Remember, the FBI said there were no documents that were relevant to our inquiry. And then, of course, we got documents by going to federal court that were produced pursuant to court order by the United States Department of Justice, which included FBI documentation. So it had email exchanges between the FBI and DOJ, even though the FBI said nothing existed. Well, now we take it a step further, and that is an email that is from the Office of Public Affairs to, ready for this, the White House. In it, the email says, I've attached a document containing the transcript to this email. I've included the text below. Please let me know if there's anything that needs to be corrected. That's from the Office of Public Affairs. That document is then sent to a Brandi Huffine. She is the assistant White House press secretary that was. So now you've got a direct connect between the Department of Justice and the FBI, the FBI and the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice and the Obama White House. And that goes despite the fact Josh Earnest said, I'm going to play this for you again, that, hey, this is something that the Department of Justice has to deal with. We're not even looking at it. It's not anything in our sphere. Take a listen to that.
You're okay with the fact that that this meeting has raised that question? Are you concerned that appearance has changed?
I'll let the Attorney General speak to her meetings. But what is paramount in the mind of the President is a commitment to the rule of law and a commitment to ensuring that justice is administered without regard to political affiliation or political standing.
Which was exactly the opposite, of course, of what happened in all of this. So this direct connect, Jordan, is a significant development, big development.
Yeah, the fact that the White House was now involved, and we know the Obama White House press team. And this is what is so interesting, is that in that comment, Josh Earnest says, you know, it's all about justice. But yeah, what we know behind the scenes, his own office now as well, his communications department, the Department of Justice Communications Department, and the FBI Communications Department, all were not focused on justice. They were focused on how to spin this so that it didn't come back to look bad on Loretta Lynch, President Obama, the Department of Justice, the FBI. And ultimately, I do believe the bigger story here was that they were trying to protect Hillary Clinton. And Dad, when I see in the emails, when they get asked, did the FBI order no pictures and things like that, we would have never known about this meeting if someone hadn't caught it on the tarmac. They were never going to tell us about this.
Right.
They would have kept this a secret.
Yeah, well, secret no more. All right, we're going to come back, taking your calls. We're going to give you more details on this. Logan, let people know how they can engage.
That's right. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today. You can also find us broadcasting online, Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow. You'll find all our links there or at ACLJ.org. But once again, phone lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging in a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls and comments. Logan, what are we hearing on and seeing on Facebook and Periscope? Our phone lines are jammed at 800-684-3110. What are we seeing?
Yeah, a lot of people are just curious if anything's going to be done about this. Will anyone be held accountable? Is DOJ doing anything? Will anyone be accountable? Is anything going to be done about this? It just seems like a lot of people are like, all right, so you got the facts. Now what?
Well, I think a couple things have to happen. Number one is the Department of Justice now is on notice that there was problems inside their own agency. So that should involve an investigation. The House, you asked now what? Which is a good question, by the way. Senate and House Intelligence Committee, oversight committees should be involved in this. They should be calling these people to testify as to what in the world was going on here. How in the world did they close this investigation while all of this matter was going on? So I think there's a multiple avenues upon which this can be reviewed. Well, that's a good question.
I think this gets back to what a lot of people have asked, which is, can the Clinton investigation be reopened based off new information? Remember, Jim Comey did just that. Jim Comey, at one point, reopened that investigation because he thought he had this treasure trove of new emails that turned out not to be the case. He announced that to the world, then reclosed the investigation once again. The Department of Justice does not have to do with the dramatics of Jim Comey to reopen the investigation. In fact, under their rules, they shouldn't tell us if they've reopened investigations. So I actually think for all of you out there who want that Clinton investigation to be reopened or hope that it is being reopened,
this is how it happens.
This is how, right. We're providing the evidence by seeking it public interest groups, we're providing the information so that the Department of Justice has a reason why and has something to go off of, you know, here's the basis for why we're reopening the investigation, because all of this was surrounding Hillary Clinton. This is all about Hillary Clinton at this point in time. The Obama administration was checking out. That's probably why Loretta Lynch made this, I think it was an error, just allowing Bill Clinton on the plane. You have Ryan Lizza from The New Yorker in his piece that he sent, you know, the fact that they were sending all this to the Department of Justice before, here's what we're going to write about you. And in his piece, it was saying that, oh, Loretta Lynch felt bad shoo-shooing the aging president off the plane because it was so hot in Phoenix, Dad. Yeah, this is the tough reporting. This is the guy who took down Anthony Scaramucci, same reporter. And in this is playing up, it would probably just been too hot to not allow him on the plane.
Right.
I mean, this is what they're writing. This is what the top writers in America, this is The New Yorker, are writing. It's too hot to shoo-shoo the president off the plane.
So here's what you have, though, okay? Okay, this is what you have, though. If you look at the timeline that we're talking about here, folks, and I want the radio audience, everybody, to understand this. We're breaking you information that's happening on July 28th, 29th, and 30th. By July 5th, the FBI director lets Hillary Clinton off the hook. On July 6th, Attorney General Lynch, who never recused herself from this, remember that, accepts Comey's recommendation not to press charges. On July 15th, we file our FOIA request. On October 21st, FBI unlawfully denies our FOIA request. On November 2nd, we filed suit against the FBI's unlawful denier. And on August 4th, ACLJ successfully obtains compromising documents involving the Attorney General, the media, the Attorney General, and the FBI, and now the Attorney General and the White House. So all of that is happening simultaneously. Now, our teams, we're scouring through this right now to see what is the next thing we need to do, because we're not we're pushing full speed ahead here. This is really important. So we're going very aggressively on this. And I'm optimistic, by the way, that we're going to continue this pressing. And as Jordan just said, it opens the matter up. But Logan, those are good questions that are coming. I appreciate those. You want to go ahead and take a phone call?
Sure. Let's go to Gloria, who's calling in New Mexico online. Juan, you're on the air.
Hey, Gloria.
Hi.
Yep.
So I've got a few questions here, because as we've heard so much the other day, I wanted to find out, what are the penalties for the FBI folks who lied to you about the FOIA, saying that there was nothing there? Because if you had lied to them, you'd be in jail right now.
Yeah.
And then secondly, we want to find out is, what does ACLJ hope that this information will do? Is it going to mean that jail time? Or is it just going to be damaging the reputation, maybe some...
No, look, I want them to open up investigations. I mean, I'm watching Fox News right now, and I'm telling you what's on the screen is a picture of Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch moments ago. So, I mean, this is big news. As Jordan just said, and he can lay it out again, this gives the committees the opportunity to go back in. And now you got the White House involved, and they were trying to say we had nothing to do with this. And Loretta Lynch, important to remember here, never recused herself from this, even though she put herself in the most uncompromising, in my view, unethical position you could be in.
Yeah, I mean, the White House getting involved, now we know their press office was involved. I mean, we're talking about spokespeople for the President of the United States. Hi, these are not just the deputies of the deputies of the deputies, the deputies to the communications director, the deputies to the press secretary. They get involved at the White House. We have an FBI cover up here because they're saying, we don't want to answer the question about did we allow photos, or did we instruct them not to allow photos, which again gets to the point that, do you think Jim Comey would have ever used this as an excuse or reason why, if they could have kept this all covered up? I mean, I also think it goes to Jim Comey. How much did he know about what was going on here?
Because we know
on
the analysis,
his chief of staff was involved.
His chief of staff and senior counselor for Jim Comey was involved. And we know this. Jim Comey said, and maybe we have the sound on this, he made the statement during his testimony that one of the reasons he went public on this was because of that meeting between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch. Remember this. This is what he said. Here it is.
Was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former president, Bill Clinton?
Yes, in a conclusive way. That was the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation, which meant both the FBI and the Justice Department.
So, I mean, this is, you understand the connections we've drawn here and what we're talking about. That was Jim Comey's testimony before Congress when he said that's the reason he took the action he did. Now, the conclusion on that action is outrageous on where it went, but that is the reason why he did it.
Yeah, and so... Yet he was fully informed of this via his chief of staff. You know that. We know that there are some FBI emails redacted, that we don't know who received some of these emails at the FBI. We know it was his FBI who said they didn't know anything about this. And now we've got plenty of correspondence back and forth, FBI asking, how do we answer the question? Now they're going to the Department of Justice, deferring to the Department of Justice to allow the DOJ to answer for the FBI on whether or not it was FBI agents. I know I'm harping on this, but you realize if those FBI agents did what they were trying to get an answer to and said no photos, they wanted no one to ever know about this. See, they didn't know someone was going to pick this up that saw it happening on the tarmac, the local news. It was like an ABC affiliate out in Phoenix. So they were doing everything possible to keep this from the American people, knowing that that weekend or the coming up weekend, Hillary Clinton was going to be providing her a testimony and question and answer session with the FBI. And then a couple days after that, Jim Comey was going to be closing out the investigation. He said this was the reason why he closed it out. Why was the FBI trying to cover it up then?
Well, that's what makes no sense about this. They were trying to cover it up because they knew that their leader, their Attorney General of the United States, was put in the most compromising of positions that you can be put into in a situation like this. And there's no easy out for them. So this is why you have exactly what took place here. So I think, look, this is why we file these lawsuits. This is why you now proceed to congressional oversight, FBI oversight, DOJ oversight. That all becomes part of this. You realize, and this went now reaches the White House. So there you have it. And Josh Earnest, despite the fact that he says, oh, we're just throwing it over to DOJ, we now know his deputy was notified of this as well. So there you have it. Do we have time for another call or comment, Logan?
Sure, we definitely have time for a call. Let's go to Ben, who's calling in Washington online, too.
Hi, Ben. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi. Listen, I don't wish anybody ill will, but what now you have this evidence, something needs to be done. I don't want anybody to go to jail, but they broke the law. If it shows they broke the law, they have a higher standard that they have to live like police officers.
Yep.
Like anybody, they have a higher standard. They need to come clean before this falls on top of all of them.
You know, this is also, remember, this comes on the heel of the fact that yesterday we disclosed that Loretta Lynch was using aliases, but we got that communication. Now today we've got the communication going between the Department of Justice, the FBI back to the Department of Justice, and as Jordan said, with a really interesting twist on what they were trying to resolve. And now we've got it going from the Department of Justice to the White House, despite the fact that the White House press secretary, Josh Earnest, throws it all back to the DOJ. So we have figured it out. We have got it. And now it's the question is, the Department of Justice, does the FBI, are they going to be investigated by their inspector generals?
Yeah.
I mean, some of that could happen. There could be oversight hearings by Congress. There could be a whole host of things.
The two big investigations would be a reopening of Hillary Clinton. And because obviously that investigation was not done forthright and correctly.
Right.
And then second, a new investigation, or maybe it's ongoing now, this would add to it, into Jim Comey's tenure as FBI director because of the cover-up here, because of his reliance on this meeting. And yet at the same time, it looks like his own FBI team would have been happy with no one ever knowing about this. So if no one ever known about it, he wouldn't have been able to use that as an excuse for taking that ridiculous action he took, being able to close out an investigation on his own without referring it to the Department of Justice.
And the Department of Justice Deputy Attorney General's office, Associate Deputy Attorney General Matthew Axelrod, is known as the lead in advising on crisis management within the DOJ, which goes to our point that the DOJ, and look, when you look at these emails, it was clear they were in crisis management.
Yeah, absolutely. You can just follow the track. They'll say it's kind of a fun read. So take a look at it if you can.
We should probably publish it. I guess we can. We should publish this in some kind of
it's document. For freedom of information.
There you go. We'll get that to you. We'll figure that out. All right. We'll
be
back with
more. We'll parse it down.
We'll parse it down a little bit. Yep.
All right. Phone lines are jammed, but we'll be back with more. Get your comments in. We'll take some of those comments during the break and during the show. And again, can't call in. Sorry.
But you can send us your comments on Periscope and Twitter. And also, don't forget ACLJ's matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging in a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, let me give you the latest what's happened as we're continuing to go through the documents. So we've got a chain of documents, an email now, that goes from the Department of Justice, Office of Public Affairs, actually to the Obama administration White House, and goes to the Deputy Assistant White House Press Secretary, Brandi Hoffein. The email says, I've attached a document. We're assuming that document's probably the talking points, which have been redacted. We're going to try to get those back in court for those. And I've included the text below. Please let me know if there's anything that needs to be corrected. So at that point, they're asking for the White House to start correcting emails or statements that are coming out from the Attorney General. The Attorney General, we know, was operating under an alias. We also know that the FBI and the Department of Justice, despite the fact the FBI said they were not, were in contact with each other during this entire time, and that the Associate Deputy Attorney General, Matthew Axelrod, was brought into this within 2 minutes of this story getting to DOJ's attention. He, and we've got this broken down, he is known as, he was a senior official overseeing all department operations. Matt also took the lead in advising on crisis management within DOJ, working closely with the White House, Congress, the FBI, and the media on DOJ's most sensitive and high-profile matters. We also know that Attorney General Lynch, using an alias, still never recused herself from these deliberations. So all of this now, in the course of about 72 hours, we've been able to put together here. Now, it is going to require us to go back to court on some other issues to get some more data, but it gives you a real sense of what we've got.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, now we know the White House involvement. We're watching cable news right now as we're doing this broadcast, and this is new. They have not yet started discussing that the White House has now got involved. I'm going to be on Fox Business later on today, even though it's on the email alias of Loretta Lynch. The first thing I'm going to say is, and now we've uncovered that the White House was going back in dialogue. Remember, this is the dialogue via email. When you receive something like this, oftentimes you pick up the phone and say,
yeah,
okay, what is really going on here? Because I don't even want these emails floating around.
Well, here's the problem for them is they put all this in writing. Which is just
enough in writing to reopen investigations.
So, Logan, the mainstream media, and we're going to be joined by Harry Hutchison in the second half, our policy director, not touching this.
Yeah, other than Fox, you really haven't seen
Fox, Federalist, yeah. Some of the newspapers.
The ones that are, you know, conservative-leaning ones. But other than that, no, not talking about it. And mainly because they know there's no really way for them to avoid having to kind of implicate their own interests. And I think that's the problem always with media right now is that telling of the narrative, creating the narrative. This goes against their narrative. So there's no reason to cover it.
Yeah. But we are, and we've got a great great team of lawyers working on this and getting great results. All right, let's go ahead and go right back to the phones. By the way, that's why when you support the ACLJ at ACLJ.org, we're not just talking about it, folks. We went to federal court and got it. That's how this worked. All right, let's grab another call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Bob in Sacramento.
Hey, Bob. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a question.
Yep.
How come, there seems to be a double standard there, you know, listening to you gentlemen talk and watching Fox News. And the thought just occurred to me, here's my question. Is it possible that the liberal media, is there evidence that the Democrats are paying the liberal media to keep their mouth shut?
No evidence of them paying anything. But we talked about this on the first day this broke, and that is there was the whole media side of this. I mean, so you've got this chain of emails under the section of media that you have where the reluctance on the New York Times and the Washington Post is breathtaking, trying to clamp it down. I could, let me ask a few questions. I think I could deal with this. We actually have their reports that came out after. None of them with a headline that would be, I'd call grabbing, to say the least. But the media is complicit in this. I mean, they're part of the problem here.
Yeah, New York Times, Washington Post, I'm hoping I can put it to rest by answering a few questions. New York Times, I've pressed into service. Ryan Lizza from New Yorker was sending his entire piece to the Department of Justice for commentary. Unlike what they do to this administration,
that's in
one of the final pages of the new timeline that we've got. And this, again, they may call the attorney, they may call like the Trump White House right now and say, we're writing this story, will you give us comment? You know what I guarantee you they're not doing? Giving them the text and basically saying, any changes you'd like to make? Because that's what they're doing here. You know, where can we update? In fact, is it the New York Times had updated their piece.
Yes.
It was the New York Times that updated their piece.
With what the Justice Department told them to put in. Including matters that were not relevant to this about career prosecutors.
Yeah.
So you have that question. Then you have an email chain. Everyone asking me about this Lynch-Clinton meeting. This is from Paula Reed at CBS News to Office of Public Affairs. What say you? That's what it says. Content, anything from the AG's events day I need to know about. And then we get LA press copy. Is this Los Angeles? Yeah. So the same Clinton question here. Same kind of story. And then they are moving the story actually, and let's get the New York Times and the Washington Post ones pulled again, because I think that was a great question. Yeah, so the media in one sense isn't reporting a lot on it, because my goodness, now it's the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Yeah, it's page 19 that has got the New Yorker where he includes it. Basically, this is Ryan Lizza. He's kind of known right now because he took down Anthony Scaramucci and that phone call they recorded.
What page is
that? Page 19. He writes, I have a piece that will be posted this afternoon that includes the following reporting. I want to see if DOJ wanted to offer a comment. And he actually puts the reporting in there. A Democrat who was briefed on the meeting between Lynch and Bill Clinton told me it was over 100 degrees outside, and Lynch, who was immediately uncomfortable with the visit, felt like she couldn't shoo the 69-year-old former president who has had heart problems in the past back onto the tarmac. Do you realize how laughable this is?
I mean, let's say that again for people to understand.
They are writing a narrative that she could not say no to the president because of his health issues. Okay, this is the president known for manipulating.
And this is an email from Ryan Lizza, New Yorker, to the Office of Public Affairs from the Department of Justice.
Affairs. And it keeps going that Lynch, according to this person, insisted her security detail remain at her side while Clinton was on board her aircraft so that the ex-president and the AG would not be alone together. You know what it doesn't say there? By the way, her staff. Her staff, if I remember correctly, were not at her side. So this meeting may have had her security detail. But remember, then they get involved because it's whether or not they were taking photos.
She also says that she insisted that her staff stay at her side.
Not staff, though, really.
Yeah, this was
security FBI. Security detail.
Yeah, stay on board the aircraft so the ex-president and the attorney general will not be alone together. I'd like to know what they heard.
Yeah, I mean, because she got rid. Her staff did not stay by her side for this meeting. And, you know, they never responded on the next page to the Daily Caller's request that they received information from a source alleging that during the meeting, the former president Bill Clinton in Phoenix, the AG, was able to provide some questions or lines of questions concerning the meeting that Hillary Clinton would receive in the upcoming interview.
So this, I mean, I think all this tells you what you're seeing is the reason the media is not covering it, Logan, is because the media is in it. They're part of the story.
Absolutely. That's always the case. That's always the case. They don't report on themselves, though they should.
Yeah.
In many ways, you know, some of the more controversial ones when the news are involved, a lot of times they will feel obligated to have to at least include themselves in the story and talk about it, but not today, not with this story.
Unbelievable. All right, we've got 53 seconds, so we can't take another call.
There's 53 seconds left in the first half hour of JSEC Live. If you don't get the second half hour, there are many ways you can do it. Find us online, aclj.org. That's where we're broadcasting live. Get on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store. Those are audio-only feeds on. That's on iPhone, iPad. You can get it later on the Apple TV app. You can get a Roku channel store. Search for ACLJ. It's available there. But to continue watching live, aclj.org, facebook.com/jsekulo, Periscope, Twitter. Find us broadcasting there. You can comment on social media. We get to some of those during the show. We also don't take breaks. We either show you exclusive videos or keep going right through the breaks that's online. If you do have to leave us, though, now, you can subscribe to the JSekulo podcast. Get directly to your phone, or again, download the ACLJ app. We'll be right back with more second half hour. JSEC Live.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
right, so we want to reset for you exactly what's happened here. So, of course, we're talking about the meeting between President, then President, former President Clinton, and then Attorney General Loretta Lynch on that tarmac days before Secretary Clinton was going to be interviewed by the FBI. So it was an inappropriate meeting, regardless when the subject matter, the wife of the president, was the subject of an investigation, or as Loretta Lynch told James Comey to call it, a matter. But let me take it a step further. We went through the emails that showed the fact that the FBI, number one, said they had no documents, but yet when we went to the Department of Justice, they actually and went to court and won in federal court and got the production of documents. It showed documents between the FBI and the Department of Justice. That's number one. Number two, the FBI lied to us. Number two, it showed that the media complicity. We just, in the last segment of the broadcast, talked about that. I'm sure we'll talk about that again. Then number three, and I think is significant here, is they immediately had a deputy attorney general who was in charge of crisis management for the Department of Justice immediately involved in this. I mean, they took him. He was within 2 minutes of this email chain starting. He's brought into the case. He deals with crisis management within the Department of Justice. And then we find that there's not only the Department of Justice and FBI discussing this, but in fact that there was an email exchange between the Department of Justice and the Obama White House. So that's where we start with this. Despite the fact that Josh Earnest said, oh, this is something the DOJ's handling, they were fully aware of it. And by the way, James Comey's chief of staff gets the information, and that's a senior counsel and chief of staff. He's aware of it, and he makes the statement under oath that the reason he went public on the Hillary Clinton matter was because of what? Because of that meeting between Lynch and former President Clinton. All of that's taking place, by the way, folks, between the day that the meeting took place and the announcement, 6 days. And we now went to federal court and got that evidence. Big win, but also tells you we're painting the story. It's taking some days to unfold it here. I'm sure there'll be more tomorrow, but this is what's happening.
Yeah, I think that what we're doing, you build out these timelines, you take note of when you keep going back through it, and you see now that the White House gets involved in the second day of this public relations response and what they're trying to figure out how to respond to the meeting. So the meeting happened on the 27th. Then the real dialogue starts on the 28th. And by the 29th, the White House is involved as well. And that's the same day that the FBI gets involved. So the same time that the White House is involved, the same time FBI is involved. FBI is obviously more involved because they've got their agents out there protecting the Attorney General as her security detail. They were on the plane, obviously, and took note of this meeting. You have to wonder at what point, why could the Department of Justice then not ask that security detail, Dad, to provide information? Because if they believe that there was criminal wrongdoing,
they should have thought
they can't.
They have to have obligation to report it.
Yes, they're not there to not just keep their ears closed to criminal activity.
But by the way, that same thing James Comey was under also, and he never did it. If he thought that he was being there was some kind of criminality going on, he never reported it. So this shows you what's going on here. All right, Logan, we have time for a call. You want to grab a comment?
Yeah, we can take a quick call. Let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line four.
Hi, Jerry. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay. You just nailed it. People getting paid taxpayer dollars take an oath to tell the truth, and they're not telling the truth.
Right.
Where is the standing of representing us taxpayers, pointing to those who took the oath to tell the truth, just what you just identified? What is the recourse? And I asked you a couple weeks ago about...
Yeah, so here's let me give you the recourse on this, because I want to be clear. We've just gotten the evidence. I mean, the evidence is 3 days old. So we've just gotten the evidence. We're putting that evidence together. We're getting it out there, as you know. I suspect that in a situation like this, this could result in congressional oversight for the FBI and DOJ. It could result in an inspector general's report or an inspector general's investigation. It could result in some criminal oversight investigations. There's a lot of options here, and some of those we'll never know about until they're released. But this raises the specter of what was going on and the level upon which this reached, which was the highest levels of government. I mean, the FBI director, the Attorney General of the United States, the White House. How about that? There's your causal connection. White House, DOJ, FBI. That's the connecting point. All right, we'll take in calls when we come back from the break.
That's right. Lines we got a lot of call lines open, 1-800-684-3110. So if you want to get on the air, this is a great time. We're on exclusive videos during the break, so you can find that if you're watching online. Thanks for watching. If not, log on over to see those videos. But 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open.
Yeah, and don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Part of that to help us go back to court and fight this again. ACLJ.org. If you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging in a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So we've uncovered this tempest in a teapot, and this is because we went to federal court to get the results. And you ask yourself this question. Our friends on Fox News are covering it. Free Beacon, The Hill covered it, a couple of the conservative news outlets. Where's CNN? The New York Times, New Yorker Magazine, Washington Post? They're nowhere to be found, in part because they're implicated in this. Their little dialogue exchanges that we talked about yesterday, going back and forth where they're trying to rewrite stories because they want to tamper down or being pressed into service, or I think I could get this resolved with a couple of questions and telling the Department of Justice, oh yeah, we've added to our story the requests that you have about career prosecutors, which I'm trying to figure out what does that have to do with anything. Joining us now in studio at our media center is our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchison. Harry, let me ask you this. As you look at the – we talked about this morning before we went on air. What's your sense of the lack – I mean, I just laid out why I think the media is not responding to this. What's your sense?
Well, my sense, Jay, is that the media declines to cover stories unless the story confirms their own biases. This particular story involving Loretta Lynch and President Clinton – go against the narrative that they prefer to push. Today, as you well know, the media is consumed by the so-called Russia collusion story. We now know from the documents that the American Center for Law and Justice have recovered, those documents show collusion between the media right. and the Justice Department and the FBI. And so what we have,
and now a link to the White House,
is all of their biases have been turned on their own head, and they are exposed, and they ought to be.
Yeah. So now we got word from one of our associates, Curtis just brought this up, that Paige Herwig, who is a counselor to Attorney General Lynch, was copied on the original email chain around 1:51, about 35 minutes after it all started. Is now the Deputy General Counsel to Senator Dianne Feinstein, who's a ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and will work checking that the Senate Judiciary Committee is still investigating this, correct? This whole Loretta Lynch matter is under investigation by the committee that now the Deputy Counsel is the former counsel to the Attorney General.
Yes, you've
so
got
this. This looks really good.
Yeah, it's extremely partisan actors. Wow. Not surprising. Again, these are the political appointees of the Department of Justice. They are the partisan picks of the President of the United States, ultimately. And so that's not so shocking. But when you realize that now that they are investigating themselves and their colleagues in the role or blocking the investigation, which I think is more likely, is setting up roadblocks, making it more difficult. And so you see, again, that they move right over from a weaponized Department of Justice to a weaponized Democrat senator's office to try and prevent these investigations from moving forward and keep everything focused on the Russia story instead of wrongdoing in the Obama administration, which is, by the way, people say, well, that's the past. That's the 6 months ago. And by the way, folks, it has to do with our election. All of this had to do with the presidential election as well. I mean, this was not like in the middle of a second term before Hillary Clinton announced. This was months before people went to the polls to choose the next president of the United States.
But here's another point. I mean, and Logan, let's get some comments on this, see if it's coming in. So, and we just pointed this out. So, and obviously, we're still digging through these documents and finding out who's who. So, Paige Herwig is counselor to Attorney General Lynch during this period of time. She is copied on the original email at 1:51. So that's on page 2 of our timeline. I've got it right here. And she is copied on this email regarding the adding people to the chain. So Paige Herwig is added to the chain. This is the senior counsel or counselor to the attorney general. Now, we know that the Senate Judiciary Committee is investigating this, right? Because that's been reported as of last week. But this Paige Herwig is now the deputy general counsel to Senator Dianne Feinstein, who is the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, how is this all okay? They're all conflicted out.
Absolutely. So this is all okay in a world of conflict of interests. So if we start with the original story involving Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton, there was a clear and unmistakable conflict of interest. Now we have Ms. Herwig, who was involved in hiding the story, the original story. She is now apparently working for the Senate Judiciary Committee, where she can continue to try to hide the story. So these stories continue to build on one another. And instead of focusing on real news, which includes, for instance, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and her aide, who was caught trying to flee the United States recently after wiring $300,000 to Pakistan, the mainstream media prefers to focus on fake news and a Russia collusion story rather than collusion by the media and members of the Obama White House.
But I go back to this point, and Logan, let's go ahead and take a phone call here, but I go back to this point. You now have the counselor to the attorney general, right? It's a counselor to the attorney general of the United States, and she is advising the attorney general on this matter as this crisis internally is developing about media. Now we know that the Senate Judiciary Committee is reviewing this, and that lawyer that's on those emails just happens to be now the deputy counsel to, guess who, Senator Dianne Feinstein. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, folks. I mean, but they don't expect anybody to go through it like this, and we are.
No, and they hope that people are saying, well, we now have got new scandals and new issues. And the truth is that, remember, it's Republicans who control Congress. It's Republicans who control the executive branch. They should be all investigating this. And as we've said, so many people, I mean, Logan, you see in our Facebook comments, they want that Clinton investigation reopened.
Yep.
And you kind of needed a reason to. This provides reasoning. So many people want Jim Comey investigated for criminal conduct with his leaks of what he did to President Trump, but also his conduct during this investigation, because I have a feeling his entire FBI, from his chief of staff down, which would include then him, implicate him, were trying to cover this meeting up so that no one ever knew that it existed, which would have then put to, he wouldn't have been able to use it as a reason why to take that bizarre action that he did to close the investigation. Yep. But again, I think that was their ultimate goal. They just realized, okay, now that this did get out there, I can use this for myself.
Yeah, but the whole thing now is, I think it's imploding on them. All right, Logan, let's grab a call or a comment. Your choice.
Let's go to Gwen in Mississippi on line 3.
Hey, Gwen.
Hello.
Yep.
I am just wondering, do you think that President Trump, do you think that he will allow the dots to be connected all the way to Barack? or do you think that just out of, I don't know, compassion for our nation, maybe not wanting to divide us anymore, that they will level off, like maybe with Loretta Lynch?
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, you've got right now, you have a investigation. This was reported in late June that a bipartisan group of Senate Judiciary Committee leaders is examining former Attorney General Loretta Lynch's alleged interference in Hillary Clinton's email investigation. The letters were sent in late June, are signed by Judiciary Chairman Charles Grassley, Ranking Democrat Dianne Feinstein, as well as Lindsey Graham and Sheldon Whitehouse, the chair and ranking member on the subcommittees on crime and terrorism. Harry, I think they have no, with all of this evidence, they have no choice but to investigate this. The question is, can Senator Feinstein be a legitimate broker in this when her deputy counsel was actually on the email chains while that person was at the Department of Justice?
Jay, I think you're absolutely right. Certainly that particular counselor, her integrity has already been compromised.
He's called into question, sure.
But to go to the caller's question, I think the president must allow these investigations to go forward. We have an unmasking scandal that ties directly back to the Obama White House. It includes Samantha Powers. It includes Benjamin Rhodes. And it includes other individuals such as Susan Rice. So, yes, we need to connect all of the dots, and we need to allow the chips to fall where they may.
Well, I think if you take it a step further than that, we're only a few days into this. So this is going to raise more questions that have to be answered. I really think that's the case here.
Well, and we still don't know what these talking points were that they feel like they never really had to utilize. That would give us a glimpse if we're able to get that uncovered. And it'd be interesting to see why they don't want they're trying to include that can be somehow covered up, because that was what they developed to use publicly for the American people and for the American media, for the press, that those talking points would also lead into new lines of questions and investigations. Because what I feel is that likely, now that we've learned more, is that those talking points include a lot of false statements that they didn't want us to see, that they were going to try to misdirect, that now had gotten to the point of lying.
Yep. All right, Logan.
Yeah, we're going to take all the calls coming up in the next segment, as many as possible. There are two lines open right now, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. I'm sure those will fill up fast, so if you want to get your voice heard, this is the time to do it. We try to take as many calls as possible. One line's gone. It's only one line left. 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in as well.
All right, we'll take, as Logan said, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge, aclj.org. We're going to have to go back to court, get more documents here. A lot more to discuss. We're back in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging in a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to take your calls on this last segment of the broadcast. I'm still trying to figure out this one. So one of the lawyers on the emails was counselor to the attorney general during this whole mess involving the meetings with Lynch and President Clinton, is now the deputy counsel to Dianne Feinstein, whose committee is overseeing investigations into the whole Lynch-Clinton affair to begin with. So she's got to be recused.
But no.
But they won't.
No.
Because they never do.
No, not at all. In fact, I mean, she issued the statement that basically I'll accept their recommendation. Then Jim Comey act like he was going so far outside the norm because he but then he closed the investigation. Exactly what do you think Loretta Lynch wanted?
Right.
I mean, what do you think Bill Clinton wanted? What do you think Hillary Clinton wanted? Now, then he went back and did that unprecedented reopening,
right,
which turned out to really cause him political trouble. I mean, I think this all puts forward the justification for why Jim Comey is no longer FBI director. I mean, you just see this, and you realize that his testimony later, it's all, again, yeah, so this same individual who was at Department of Justice this time DOJ. Was also special assistant to the president and associate counsel to President Obama at the White House.
The same lawyer?
Yeah.
There you go. Let's develop that. We'll develop those facts for you tomorrow, folks, as the hits keep coming on this one.
What it looks like is that they were taking people from the White House, sending them to the DOJ, trusted people, because of the Hillary Clinton investigation,
right?
To handle
right.
that as best possible and manage it. And that's why Loretta Lynch never recused herself, because she would have had to recuse most of the Department of Justice and her top advisors.
All right, let's go ahead and take as many calls as we can, Logan, because people have been holding.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Lisa in Modesto, California, on line four. You're on the
air. Hi, Lisa, go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. I had a comment that has resolved into a question. I'm amazed at how lightning fast everybody on the left, the media, congressmen, senators, were screaming about recuse, you know, collusion.
Yeah.
And now we've got this going on. Where are they? My question now has turned into, where are they? Why are they not saying?
Oh, are you kidding me? Why? Because they're all implicated. I mean, you got the Department of Justice, the White House, the Senate Intel Committee now, or Judiciary Committee. You've got the media. They're not. This is exactly. Listen, they just were hoping we weren't going to get the information. We've got it. And literally, folks, we're getting more information as the program is progressing here. So hopefully by the end of the week on Thursday and Friday, I'm going to take you through the whole thing of exactly what we found on every single point. We're going to review all of our transcripts from radio this week and lay out the entire case. We'll have it by then. But this shows you the nature of what we have here. It is outrageous. I mean, completely outrageous.
Yes. I mean, so you look at first of the Lake Department of Justice, then you get the FBI involved.
We thought that was a big deal.
Yes, because you got Jim Comey's chief of staff being referenced. You got FBI communications team being forwarding along questions, trying to figure out how to respond. And that continues, by the way, much later into it than we initially thought, because they up until the final days of this, the FBI kept sending questions over to Department of Justice. They didn't want to answer the questions, which is interesting to me. Is that because they knew that in a few days after that? I mean, literally 9 days in total was between the tarmac meeting, all of this, and Jim Comey announcing the end of that investigation.
Yeah.
It was 9 days.
Unbelievable. And we've got the whole timeline of all this. So this is good. And we're going to get some more of the subsequent comments that
we'll make. We'll take some calls, too. Yep. More calls. Give us a call. We've gone through a few quickly. 1-800-684-3110. We'll try to
be proud of me for that.
Screen those as well. Let's go to George, who's calling in Colorado on line six.
Hi, George. Go ahead.
Hey, Jay. Great work.
Thanks.
But I think the only way to address the media questions is to get CNN, ABC, et cetera, to start covering this stuff. Is the president needs to get out there and be more aggressive. You know, why doesn't he have a primetime address?
I don't know about the president doing a primetime address on this. I'm not sure about that, but I don't think that's, you know, necessarily the case here. But I will tell you this. I will not give you the who I've talked with, but I've talked to some of the other media that you mentioned and said, because they said, we'd like to have you on so-and-so. You were on Sean Hannity's broadcast yesterday. I said, yeah, talking about this, the Freedom of Information Act request case. And the Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton matter. See if they want to talk about that. We'll see.
That's what I'm saying, is that they're going to use still as of today. Now, this is a news week where there's not been much about the Russia issue or the legal issue. Like, there was that rush last week at the end of the week on the grand jury and all of that. And so you've got these mainstream media outlets, we're not naming names, going to him right now as we speak. I mean, literally they're emailing him right now saying, will you come on our show? They want him to talk about Russia. To bring that back up. They don't want to touch this. And now you're responding and saying, hey, I'll come on if you'll.
Let's talk about this.
Let's talk about
which is the news item.
And now we'll see. We'll see if they play ball or not. Back to the phones?
Yes.
Yep. Mark in Brentwood, Tennessee. You're on the air online too.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jay.
Hey,
first, thank you for and the ACLJ for all the great work that you guys are doing. It's just fantastic to see. My question is, there are so many people I know that just want to get involved, but we feel absolutely powerless. You know, what can we, the people, do?
I mean, look, I mean, this is, you're supporting groups like the ACLJ and Judicial Watch and others, and you get results. I mean, you know, we went to federal court and you do it. You're listening to this broadcast. You're getting informed and educated. Now it's our job to take this information, put it into a package and say, hey, I mean, Judiciary Committee's already investigating this. So we're going to deliver all of what we got to the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
Everything we've got is going to go to the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to do it.
Within this week of receiving the information, not even week.
We got it
on Thursday last week?
Last Thursday night.
Yeah, so Thursday night. And
It's Tuesday.
And we're still going through it. You take your time as lawyers and have different eyes look at it,
right.
413 pages. The initial response was the media. Then it was the FBI involvement. Now it's the White House involvement. Loretta Lynch's email alias being exposed.
Now it's the deputy, the counselor to the attorney general is now the deputy counsel to Dianne Feinstein, whose committee is the one overseeing this.
And she was previously at the White House.
Yep.
So, I mean, these, again, it looks like everything was being done to shield Hillary Clinton from what was probably a phony investigation. We know it was phony. She wasn't even under oath when she did that testimony. And then on July 4th weekend, when no one was paying attention to the news, and then Jim Comey made the announcement the day after July 4th, July 5th, that the investigation had been closed. Now, he came back later and really, I think, tampered with the election process. You want to talk about really tampering with the election process? But Jim Comey. By reopening that investigation for a few days and then closing it once again.
Yep.
I mean, so this goes to that whole –
yep.
It goes to Comey. It goes to President Trump's decision to fire Comey.
Yep.
The problems with inside the bureaucracy.
Yep.
The problems inside these agencies, like how the Obama administration weaponized the Department of Justice.
Yep.
And made these intelligence agencies may have weaponized those politically as well, because
yep.
you go to the unmasking issue. All these people are interconnected.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Jamie in Oklahoma on line one.
Hey, Jamie, you're on.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
This is a statement with a question ending.
Yep.
Professor Hutchison is
yep.
right. Let the chips fall where they may.
Yep.
With Loretta Lynch being Obama's AG, actually
yep.
all his staff, including the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation. In fact, investigating the Clinton Foundation from day one of its existence. We know Obama had to be involved. Why would we not take this all the way to the top to
Obama? Well, here's
Obama.
What you got to do. It's a good question, but we've got to take us where the evidence leads, and we're just getting the evidence now, and we're going to draw this out and show where it goes. We have to internally do that. Then we're going to take everything we've got, send it over to the Senate Judiciary Committee. I think that's the best bet.
What we know now is we have a White House connection. We found the White House connection to this issue, specifically from this FOIA. So we're getting into the White House, you know, a little bit, piece by piece. And
yep.
that's what you do. You take it piece by piece. You research that person.
Yep.
How powerful were they? How long were they at the White House? Where were they before the White House? Did they end up at Department
yep.
of Justice? All those kind of things.
All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Logan, let everybody know they can stay engaged.
That's right. Back tomorrow. You can find us online, ACLJ.org, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. Find us there.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.